Hello and welcome to another edition of Feed Ace Podcast. My name is Jerry Serino and I'm your host, and I'm here with Talon on loan from Rush. And as you are accustomed to, I love bringing on young conservatives who are out there being bold, quite frankly, in a lot of cases, more bold than many of our seasoned politicians and the like, who are seemingly afraid of their own shadow. When I come across young people who are full of vigor, full of excitement, and who are out there speaking their mind, even though it is, quite frankly, somewhat dangerous out there to speak your mind, especially on college campus. I love getting people. If you listened to my episode last week with Beth Walker, otherwise known as Three Gun Beth, she had recommended her cousin, who is my guest today, Matea Miller, who is an outspoken conservative, young, and is here to share her story and what she's doing and her thoughts on some things going on. So Matea, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. So I want to start with just a little bit about you. So if anyone is watching this on video versus just listening, I'm scrolling at the bottom. Matea's handle is as well as the name of her show. So she also has gotten to the levels of starting her own show. It is called Get Right Radio Show. We'll definitely talk about it here in a second, but I want to start with just what got you involved in the conservative movement in general.
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I've gone back and tried to trace it myself when I think about how I got involved in politics. And I couldn't really tell you where I got interested, I don't think, because I've always kind of enjoyed tuning into what's going on. But I think what really started my most obvious interest in politics was 2015, actually, or 2016, when Trump's campaign really hit its peak. And it seemed like he really gathered a lot of young people into the movement. I don't know what it is exactly about him or his persona, but he really inspires people to have a voice, which is something that I really love about his candidacy, actually. So I started paying a lot more attention to politics itself. And then about 2 years later, I got involved in speech and debate in high school, and it was my world. I absolutely loved it. And that was when I first got the feeling for what it means to speak and have someone listen, which I think was huge for me just in my development as a person as much as it was as a conservative, because I would stand up behind the podium. I would be able to think through verbally what it means to be a conservative, what it means to look at policies and determine what is actually good for our country, whether that's philosophically or economically. From there, I got involved in Turning Point USA at Missouri State University. I'm the chapter president there. Now I have my own radio show. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but
yeah, a great journey. And yeah, and a lot of things come up as you were explaining that. I didn't know this, which is why I asked. Sometimes I know the answer to the questions I ask people, but I know that all my listeners are always interested in knowing people's background. So a couple of things that are interesting, and if you could comment on them, is one, you, a young person, were inspired by Trump, which so many people in general, but especially I think young people, did not like his confidence. They were turned off by his sort of abrasiveness, which is maybe not the best word, but I love his way of being because he stands up. He doesn't allow himself to get bullied. So it's one, surprising that someone young found that attractive in a sense. I don't mean physically, but then the second thing is that I would be curious to know if you've had the opportunity to debate people from the other side. So let's start with the first question. You know, what did people say and what specifically about Trump brought you in?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to trace. And I think we're just now starting to see what him being a politician is going to mean for the future of our country, because he broke politics. There's no way around that. Politics, I don't think, at least for Republicans, will ever be the same. And so I think there's a lot of research to be done into exactly how he did it. Part of it had to do with his use of media. I think his campaign was very effective when it came to social media. And of course, that's a good way to get young people engaged. But when it comes to just Trump himself, I think something that brings a lot of people in, and especially kids my age, is he's really not a politician. I mean, he is now. He was president of the United States. But when he came to the scene, when he came down the escalator, he was just this guy that everybody kind of knew, who was willing to say things that other people wouldn't. And that's something that I'm very passionate about, is opening discussion, having conversations. And it's not something that especially college students will do anymore. And so for me, seeing a man who is willing to put his name on the line, his reputation on the line, even risking the support from his base, from his party, to say things that he believed needed to be said, that to me was just so new and different for politics. And I think when you see Trump, you see change. You see that things don't have to be the way that we're taught they have to be. Politics doesn't have to be swampy. It doesn't have to be super corrupt. It can be just people who are living regular lives, running businesses, who have families, who are willing to stick up for the little man, even if it costs them personally. So for me, I think that was the draw.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I want to get to the next question about if you've had the opportunity to debate people from the other side. But I want to first make the comment when you're saying it doesn't have to be swampy. It doesn't have to be like that. And it is really a good point that caught my ear when you said that, because, you know, I think about all that we have going on now with the violence in the cities, the poverty, you know, the what's going on in the border, inflation. None of that has to be either. None of that is just an accident. It's not like a tornado hit. No, well, it's an act of God. All of this stuff is an act of government that we're facing. It is absolutely the case. So none of it has to happen.
Yeah, no, I think you're so right there. And I think a lot of people my age really miss out on that, because it's hard to tell if you're not used to looking for it, how many problems the government actually does cause that are not only completely avoidable, but that have to be intentional. Because the kind of things that we're facing, even just culture war-wise, didn't happen on accident. That's not just how politics works. There's a very sinister motive behind all of that. And I think it's really, really important, especially for kids my age, that we wake up and learn how to recognize that and combat it, because it has serious implications for where we're headed as a generation, as a country, and as the free world.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so have you had the opportunity to debate those on the other side?
A little bit. One thing I will say is they end up being more conversational, which I think is more productive most of the time, because most of it's with students and actually teachers at school that I disagree with. So I've had a lot of conversations even with close friends of mine that aren't quite aligned politically. But as far as outright debates go, I don't see a lot of those, just because I can be a confrontational person, but I definitely try to keep things conversational, because opening that door to effective communication is something that I think is really important. But I would like to see more of it, because I get really excited about that. I haven't had a real robust debate since my speech and debate days, so I'm hoping maybe I can get some of that on my show.
Yeah, absolutely. So great segue into your show. That was my next question. So you have a show called Get Right with Matea Miller. Tell me, when people tune in, what can they expect to hear?
Yeah. So the biggest thing about my show is, and it sounds pretty basic, but just conversations. I interview just about anybody who will talk to me, and we have real talks about what's really going on, which, again, is something that I just don't see happening for college students anymore. And for me, no conversation is off the tables. I will talk about religion. I'll talk about politics. I'll talk about the culture war. Anything we can do to get this country right again, to fix this generation, to start going in a better direction. And I think it's really important to have unfiltered conversations with people, even that you disagree with. So that's the heart of my show. It ends up being a lot of conversations with, I've had community members on, I've had some politicians on. I actually just had a really good interview with a professor at MSU, Missouri State University. I'm a college student there, who is actually pretty left-leaning. He's a critical theory scholar, actually. We just sat down in his office and talked about what his perspective on all of this is, on conservative media, on students who go to school, who are conservatives going to a liberal school. So, yeah, it's a lot of conversations, some debate without all the hate, I think.
Yeah.
No, that's how I describe my show.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's the kind of debate that we need to have, and discussion, is that we can have it without you know, throwing insults and the like. So, okay. So one of the things that if you look at your material, let's go out there and everyone should, you know, check out again, your handle is below. It's at Matea_Miller_. Is that correct? Do I have it right?
Yep.
So you could just check her out and there are links in there that will take you to places and you can learn more. But one of the things you talk about is you're all about stepping on eggshells. And I was curious as to what some of those eggshells are you specifically talking about?
Yeah. So the usual phrase is walking on eggshells, right? And what that essentially means is being super cautious when it comes to how you do conversations. I mean, it has a lot of a negative connotation nowadays, I would say. And so my transition into stepping on eggshells is more like, I'm going to have the same kind of conversations. And I want to do so with respect. Like, I'm recognizing that some of these topics are polarizing, but I'm not going to stop talking about them. And I'm going to force open a conversation if I have to, because some of the things that we're dealing with that people don't want to talk about, that's not an option for me. Some of the things that we're looking at that children are being subjected to, that kids my age are going to have to face in the future, those aren't things that I'm willing to sit down and be quiet about. So yes, they're sensitive topics and should be approached with grace and understanding, but they're conversations that need to be had.
So yeah,
that's kind of the mindset behind that phrase.
Yeah, that's great. What are, in your opinion, what are the top issues of today that are most concerning or damaging to the country?
Yeah, that's a really hard question to answer because there are so many. But I think the most shocking thing for me as a young person is what's happening to children in our culture today. And one of my greatest goals someday is to be a mother. And so I'm looking at this world that the next generations are going to grow up in, and I'm pretty horrified. I mean, some of the things that kids are being exposed to in schools, and I'm not just talking about books and libraries that shouldn't be there, but even students who are getting beat up in classrooms and nothing is being done about it, or college students who are going to school and not able to learn anymore, either because education expenses are so inflated or because teachers aren't teaching anymore. They're just indoctrinating, which is sadly a problem in a lot of higher education. Or the complete opposite side of it, when conservatives just aren't going to school anymore and we're losing these battlegrounds, these universities to the crazy leftists that we're trying to combat, the lack of opportunities is astounding to me. Even just things like the way that the economy is turning out. People can't get jobs and go to school and raise kids all at the same time, and they have to pick between things that they shouldn't have to pick between. So those are some of the biggest issues, I would say, because they're the issues that I'm going to have to deal with as a 20-year-old coming into this new world that's being created. But you could go on and on all day about things that the government is doing that is going to impact the next generation and the one after. Mm-hmm. There are just so many issues, so many things that need to be talked about. So,
yeah,
those are probably my top ones.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because when you damage children, that lasts almost a lifetime, and it can be very, very difficult for them to deal with as they get older. And then I believe it then consequently impacts their children or people that they engage with or interact with in their life. And it is really, you know, we could deal with a high tax rate and, you know, in 4 or 8 years, it gets lowered or something. We can fix that stuff. Illegal immigration is tough to fix, but it certainly is something that can be fixed to an extent. But what we're doing to kids is so damaging and is long, long lasting. So I agree with you. And so you had mentioned that you are the Turning Point USA president at MSU. Love Turning Point. Have had a lot of people from Turning Point on the show as well. Tell me about your experience as the president at MSU.
Yeah, it was actually kind of an accident. I didn't know that there was a Turning Point chapter at Missouri State. Turns out we're really the only conservative organization, at least that I know of, on the college campus. We're one of the only chapters in the state of Missouri, actually, out of two or three others, I think, but by far the most active. And I didn't know that it was there. So that was a really exciting thing for me to find because I was looking for conservative community. So I was really grateful to find that. I just started going to meetings and kind of listening in. I really appreciated that there was somewhere to go and talk about these things because I thought I was the only political nerd. So that was really refreshing to me. I didn't even plan on running for a position that year. But later in the spring, that was the spring of my freshman year, I was asked to run for an executive position. And I just got elected. This is my first term. It'll be closing out in May. And it's been a really good experience. We've met a lot of students on campus that are becoming more open to ideas. And I've gotten to plug a lot of my fellow students into the community in ways that it's really refreshing to see. We've gone to lots of events, had some really cool speakers. And I'm proud to say we're very supported by our community here in Springfield. There's a lot of work to be done. It can be pretty purpley in areas, but for the most part, there are a lot of good conservatives in the area who support what we're doing. So it's been a chance to feel like a part of the movement, which is really powerful for young people. That's the way to get us engaged and stay engaged, to give us something to care about. So that's been a good experience.
Good. So how have you been treated on campus in general as a conservative, as part of a conservative organization as well?
Yeah, that's always a super interesting conversation to have because that's usually one of the questions I get asked when I've gone on some other radio shows. And I've gotten a little bit better about answering it, but it's hard to describe. So what you see online where it's students, shattering glass doors because Charlie Kirk is coming to campus or going outside and screaming or setting off fire alarms or assaulting speakers like Riley Gaines, doesn't really happen in Springfield, Missouri. It's pretty quiet for the most part. The pushback that we get is more subtle, I would say. Not necessarily less impactful, but not as easy to spot. We'll have teachers that kind of give us the eye, or I'm also in student government at campus, and I don't exactly fit in there, I would say. People kind of know who I am, even if I don't necessarily know who they are all of the time, and they're very aware that we're there. But as red as the area still technically is, it's not to the point where they'll come out and address it, if that makes sense. So we're observed, but not really addressed, I would say, which is something I want to change because one thing that's good about getting hate is it gives you something to combat. So we'll see where it goes. We're starting to get a lot more active in the community, so it might pick up a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. And it's important. We're making some moves here in Ohio. It's where I'm from. And I have three college students, and three of my kids are college students. And all we're looking for is equal treatment. Nobody is trying to shut up anyone from the other side or wants to mistreat anyone from the other side. We just want equal, fair treatment. And for me, at least, is for teachers, you know, you're welcome to be whoever you are and vote however you vote. But it is not your job to tell our kids essentially how to think. And sadly, that's at least my experience with my kids, is they have to sit through classes in which they are talking utter garbage and they have to just sit there. And it's really unfair. They shouldn't have to face it. So you talked about the issues that you think are the most important in, as far as, you know, dealing with kids and the impacting kids. What do you think are the biggest issues for young people? And I mean, even young people on the other side, like, what is it that is most, makes both groups most passionate?
Yeah. That's a hard question to answer, again, because I'm just now getting to the point where I'm starting to be able to have some conversations with people from other sides. But what I'm gathering is that media is an issue. And that was something that I talked about in the interview that I'll be airing on my show on Sunday with the professor that I mentioned. The state of journalism and news in our country, just across the board, is atrocious. And even lefties will agree with this. Journalism is not happening anymore. It's either indoctrination or agenda setting or just untruths being blasted into the media. And I think that both sides are starting to see that. There's not a good example of any source, really partisan or otherwise, that's really nailing it in the journalism department. And I think that that's a struggle for young kids who do want to be involved and who struggle to be because they don't feel like they can find any real information. There are some niche sources that you can go to that are pretty good about being upfront about what's actually going on, but it's hard to find. And I think students are tired and disenchanted with politics in general because of this. So even students who would be involved, who would be interested, don't feel like there's a way for them to break the narrative and really dive into these political issues because they don't feel heard or seen. Mm-hmm. And feelings isn't really something that conservatives want to talk about because facts don't care about your feelings, right? But they're there. And I do think it's going to be a lot more important for conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, whoever, to pay a little bit more attention to that, because my generation, like it or not, that's how we operate. And part of it is because of the way that we've been raised in the world that we're growing up in. So that would probably be the most obvious one that I could point out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are some social issues that are a big deal right now. Even some conservatives are starting to be a little bit more open about even just having cultural conversations. So
yeah,
that would probably be my number one.
Yeah, the media is so interesting because the left especially is so uninformed and ill-informed, in which they actually believe things that are completely false. And that's just the way it is. But yet they believe what they believe with tremendous passion. And you could appreciate that in a way that they're passionate about certain things. And a lot of times they want certain programs because they want to help people, but in reality, they don't help people at all. And so what the desire that they want is not even being achieved, but they don't know it. And I feel for them in that regards, because I think many people, their intentions are good. But unfortunately the outcomes of their policies that they support are not good in every area. So you had said off the air, for those that are here, thank you. And Matea is Three Gun Beth Walker's cousin, and Beth had recommended Matea to come on the show, and I gladly accepted. And I had asked Matea about her, and she said, "Well, I want to be her when I grow up." Right. So
I'm a big fan of Beth.
Yes. So who else are you, or have you been influenced by in your life?
Yeah, I'm really into the Daily Wire, which I guess is pretty cliche for a young college student to say, or conservative college student. Love Candace Owens. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that she sets some people off because and some of the things she says can be pretty abrasive, but I think we need some of that. I think my generation needs a good kick in the pants, and I'm glad to see that people like Candace are doing that. I also think it's really huge for young women, especially, to have strong role models right now, even when it comes to things like just being a well-rounded, classy woman with morals. It's something you don't see anymore. And I'm not a young man, so I can't speak for that side of it. But she really meshes good political ideology with good character too. And that's something that I always look for, especially when it comes to media role models, because with the media landscape the way it is, it's really hard to find that. But I'm a big Michael Knowles fan too. I love his show. And then outside of the Daily Wire, I've followed Leadership Institute. I've done some work with them. So Morton Blackwell's Laws of the Public Policy Process. I've always been interested in learning from him. He's a pretty cool figure. And then Trump, of course. I'm a big Trump fan, so fascinated with his campaign. Really excited to see where Vivek Ramaswamy is going, too. Mm-hmm. I've started tuning into some of his talks. So, yeah, those would probably be my top four.
Yeah, excellent. They're all good ones, very, very good ones. I'm in agreement on all of them as well. They influence even people that are much older than you. It's not just the youth. I think they've had an impact. Even Candace Owens is someone I certainly listen to. Michael Knowles is fantastic. And yeah, Vivek and Trump, of course, Trump. But Vivek came out of nowhere, and just his straight talk, and he doesn't need a teleprompter. He doesn't need to look at notes. He could just speak. And that's what I think was appealing, or is appealing, about Trump. He just speaks. He doesn't need to go, it always amazed me that Hillary Clinton would have to take like 2 days off to prepare for the debates. And I'm like, well, 2 days off, that she's done this her whole life, and we're told that she's the smartest person that ever lived. What does she need any time to prepare for? Like, Trump didn't really take time to prepare. So it's really amazing. So, well, this has been a really great conversation. I appreciate you coming on and sharing all that you're doing. Matea Miller from the Get Right Radio Show. Please check her out, follow her on social media, and listen to her show as well. And shoot her a message and let her know how you liked this interview so far. So Matea, keep up the great work, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of P-Days Podcast. Please check out all my podcasts and all the different podcast apps on YouTube, on Rumble, and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on WhiteAmericanMedia.com and on WHK Radio/podcast as well. So thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Words from my tongue, save your voice. I speak for everyone. It's the same story, different day. All this time, every way. I've been thinking about how I've been so funny. Yeah. Never thinking about the things that I might have missed. But before I start getting into the same routine, gonna take the time to notice the little things.